Glory be to God in the highest. While you're still standing, turn with me to the book of Matthew as I share the word of God with us in today's discipleship class. Matthew chapter number 6. And we're reading from verse 19. If all the families are there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. All right, let's read it together. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Now I will read alone verse 20. Store your treasure in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. God bless you. Be seated. Today I'm going to be sharing with us in a very brief moment as we engage enough time to pray. And you have to follow me by the Spirit of God as I speak the word of God. A little bit of preaching. That means I'm going to be preaching and teaching at the same time. Now, if you look at the text, I'm going to be sharing with us investing in gift age securities. Investing in gift age securities. Now, you have always heard the different monetary securities that have always been declared, you know, by the Central Bank of Nigeria or by the stock exchange. You have always heard on certain securities that are built up as bonds to be able to protect an investment. Or they open up a bond or a link of an investment where people can make investment to be able to secure their resources. Now, many times a lot of people think about Jesus Christ in terms of his being very much concerned about our spiritual life. And a lot of people believe that Jesus Christ doesn't even, you know, care so much about our life investment and about our money. But you realize that when you read the scriptures, Jesus Christ is the greatest and the awesome counselor that has to do with investment. There is nobody that is as great in terms of giving the wise counsel to investment like Jesus Christ. Some have limited Jesus Christ to the eternal life after death. That Jesus Christ will give every one of us a place of refuge. They do not feel that Jesus has a relevant message for the modern age. A lot of people believe that Jesus Christ and Christianity has nothing to offer in the X generation. They believe that the X generation, Jesus Christ cannot fit in with the kind of doctrine and messages and the kind of words that he has given. To think like this is completely to miss out of this wonderful life that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can ever offer. All through history, from time to time, it has always been read and always been stated from the beginning of human existence to the present age where we are today. The Bible has always testified to us that Jesus Christ is the beginning of all things, and Jesus Christ is the climax of all things. Jesus Christ is the author, and then he is the finisher. The mystery about Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ has no beginning and Jesus Christ has no end. He is the beginning of every culture and he is the end of every culture. He is the beginning of every nation and he is the end of every nation. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, every person begins his existence in Christ and ends up his existence right in Christ. The Bible says to us that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. How did God bring forth and birth forth and create the heavens and the earth? The book of John testifies to us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without the Word, nothing was made that was made. Everything that your eyes can see and everything that your hands can touch, they were all crafted, they were all birthed, they were all spoken into existence by the Word. The word is the beginning. The word is the end. It is by the word that the earth itself is hanging and revolving on its axis, without a human pillar, without a human support, without the support of any science, without the support of any government. For the past thousands of years, the earth has been revolving by the spoken word of God. The earth has never dropped down. The earth has never shifted base. The earth has been standing because Jesus spoke the earth into existence, and it came to be, and that word is sustaining it. If Jesus can sustain the earth for the past thousands of years, he is still in charge of your life. He can sustain you. It doesn't matter what men try to do. It doesn't matter what people try to manipulate. The word of God is eternal. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. Settled in heaven. Settled on earth. Settled under the earth. Give Jesus praise in the house. When we are talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is more than a savior of the soul. He is the savior of the total man. Jesus wants every one of us that is sitting here to have an abundant life. His desire, he came that you will have a fulfilled life, that you will have a fruitful life, that you will have a flourishing life. That's what God planned from the beginning in Jesus Christ. And that's why he sent him in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus Christ said in the New Living Translation, the thief purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the purpose of the thief. But my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. That's my purpose. That's why I came. In the words of our text in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse 19, right down to 21, Jesus Christ gave us the utterance. He made an utterance to a principle that should touch every area of our life. His desire is to see that we succeed in this life. He spoke something that has to touch with every aspect of the human existence. Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher. Jesus Christ, the counselor. Jesus Christ, the prophet that cannot be compared with any other prophet. Jesus Christ, the eternal God. His words are the safest place. His words are the safest vehicle. His word is the safest plane that anybody can ride on. It's the safest for life. His words are the safest investment because of everyone's desire to make wise and profitable investment. If you want to succeed in this life, you will need to hang upon the words of Jesus Christ. That is the word that is saved. That is the word that gives you the security. That's the word that gives you the clarity on how you can be stable in this life, and how you can succeed in this life, and how you can enjoy the glory of this life. People everywhere, there's something you find about human being everywhere you go. Human beings have a natural instincts in them, and that instinct is inborn. The instinct to make an investment. Their desire to be able to see that they enjoy life. Many times through the century, people have always made so much investments in their life, but they end up in confusion. They end up being frustrated. They end up being confused. They realize that they miss out on the purpose for living. And most of the time, they attempted to confuse the means of living with the end of living. Most of the time, when you look all over the world, men and women are suffering. They make investment because they desire progress. But they always confuse this because they are always working by sight and not by faith. They are always working with the human senses and the human imagination. The human comprehension, the human way, the human patterns, and the human principles. They never walk with the word, with the standard of God for them in terms of their economy, in terms of their family, in terms of their relationship, in terms of what they do in the society. They are constantly tempted at all times, and they are always confused. And that's why you realize that a lot of people can put the things of this world first in their life and put God secondary in their life. Jesus Christ, the greatest investor, the greatest investment counselor. He gives us the best advice on how to invest our time, on how to invest our talent, on how to invest our treasure, on how to invest all that we got in this life so that we can properly establish the blessings of God, and the blessings of God will remain with us eternally. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There is a song that I always love to sing. No other name like Jesus. No other name so beautiful to me. That's why I love him so. Jesus Christ is the only one among all the prophets that ever lived that can show you where you are, and that can show you where you're going to be, and that can change your status, that can change your past and recreate your present and give you direction for your future. No any other. No any other that has spent time to talk about the human talent, the human time, and the human treasure. Many of us want to see an enduring riches in our lives, but we see that those riches don't stay. Why? Because we have a misplaced understanding and misplaced purpose and misplaced priority in life. And so that has influenced our perspective. We have the wrong perspective in life, and that's why we have the wrong pursuit in life, both spiritually and physically. God's ultimate desire is to give every one of us an enduring riches. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, riches and honor are with me. Whatever you're looking for, riches and honor. What people are going to make dubious, satanic consultation to have honor. They try to do certain things to cheat in order to have a honor. But God said, riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches. Not the one that comes and disappears. Enduring riches and righteousness are with me. If God then is the possessor and the owner of riches and honor, then God should be the first. God should be the ultimate pursuit in my life. I should desire to gravitate around this God because riches and honor are with him. It means that anything that the world can offer me, anything that the world will try to advise me, anything that the world will try to counsel me into, it is never a true riches and it is never a true honor. True honor comes from him. Point number one, Jesus points out the insecurity of earthly treasure from the scriptures we read in the book of Matthew. He points out to every one of us the insecurity of earthly treasure. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 5. Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 5. Would you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Riches, they create wings for themselves. They fly away. So the book of Proverbs is saying, why do you fix your eyes? Why do you fix your heart on earthly treasure? Jesus said, where the heart of a man is, there his treasure. Where the treasure of a man is, there his heart will be. Let's analyze this number one point. Number one, earthly treasure is subject to destruction from within by the moth. That's what Jesus said. Earthly treasure. Whatever you think in this life, whatever you say in this life, that people are killing themselves, that people are murdering one another for earthly treasures, for earthly possession. They are fighting over one another. They are going to consult herbalists. They are going to consult witches in order to destroy one another just because of an earthly possession. This earthly possession, it is subject to destruction from within by the moth. The moth was symbolic of all that can destroy from the inside. Jesus said to us, in those days in the Middle East, wealthy people in the Middle East at that time, most of the times in their life, they will make investments in clothes, investments in carpets, investment in other perishable materials. But then with time, those things begin to ruin, gets destroyed by the moth. Number two, earthly treasure is subject to destruction from without. From within, from without. from the inside, it's subject to destruction. Then from the outside, it is also subject to destruction. From without, by the rust. Much of that which we acquire today, the things that we possess, you just look at the brand new house you build. You look at the brand new car you purchase. You look at certain electronics that you buy that is brand new. With time, it begins to deteriorate. With time, it begins to pass away. The sale value of a car experiences a sudden drop the moment that car leaves the showroom. The moment that car is driven out, if you buy that car for $1 million, the moment you purchase that car and there is an exchange of receipt, the value of that car begins to drop. Everything, Jesus said, it is subject to deterioration by the rust. Subject to destruction. That's why you buy a brand new car. You drive it for a few years. You begin to desire for another one. You build a brand new house. You so much love it so dearly. After a few years, you begin to think about making some changes. The fire, the storms, the floods can render every investment you make valueless. Overnight, look at what happened in the tsunami. Swept away a whole city. Look at what happened in America. With a wild wind, with a tornado, came and took houses away from their foundation. Overnight, Jesus said, these earthly possessions, they are subject to destruction from without. I read the story so many years ago of a man as I was preparing for this message. I remember the story of a man who went and bought a brand new car, took his family in the car, and they were driving to the east. And along the way, they had an accident. And that car had a head-on collision, and it was grounded. All the passengers in the car died. Brand new car, but cannot save the occupants. Jesus said, these things that you see, they are perishable. Why do you have to hang your hope? Why do you have to hang your life on things that are perishable? When the wind comes on, it will blow it away overnight. What you have labored for 100 years is carried in a split second. Number three, earthly treasure are subject to destruction from beneath. Subject to destruction from within. Subject to destruction from outside. And subject to destruction from beneath. Jesus said, thieves break through and steal. Have you read? I was reading a paper yesterday of so many thieves that are moving to churches in Onitsha. That this time around, even churches are trying to put offering boxes using bulletproof cages because of armed robbers. Jesus said, thieves, you can never pray them away. You pray them now, they will come back tomorrow. Because the word of the Lord cannot be broken. Thieves will have to prove to you that what you're pursuing for in this life, it is not worth pursuing. Pursue the real thing. Jesus said, what you're trying to gather, thieves will come and take them away. Thieves break through and steal. Jesus said, for the thief's purpose is to steal, is to kill, is to destroy. Did you see the network news yesterday? Of a young man that is running, trying to find a hiding place. Somebody walked into his house, killed his wife, his daughters, his children, left that family, went on to the sister-in-law, gunned her down, gunned the children, and some of them escaped with bullet wounds in their body. And yet the man sent him a text and said, I'm still coming after you. This, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan is never a good friend. Whatever the modern world tries to offer you, whatever the middle world tries to offer you, whatever this world tries to offer you is a fake offer. There are many factors over which the individual has no control on. that can rob us of our values, of our valuables. You have no control, number one, over war and natural catastrophes. You have no control. If we had control, we would have stopped the invaders from invading our land. We would have stopped what the Boko Harams are doing right down in my state. War, natural catastrophes. You remember what happened last year during the rain that it swept roads and bridges. Natural catastrophe. You have no control. Number two, inflation. Inflations will always come that causes our savings to shrink. What you bought for 10 naira, when inflation comes on, it reduces it. Reduces the value. Naira used to be 1 naira to almost a pound. Today, you need 200 and something naira to buy 1 pound. Inflation has shrunk the strength of our economy. Number three, depression causes investment to decrease in value. Depression. The lesson is that earthly treasure alone is a bad investment. Whatever you're trying to do, it doesn't give you the permanent life. One day, you will go off. One day, you're going to leave those human pursuits, what you're pursuing, to leave the kingdom of God behind. Some of us say, hey, preacher, don't talk to us. We're still very young. You have tested your own. Oh, you're not a good historian. That which has been shall be. That which has been done shall be done. What you are calling today, fashion and modernization, was what we did many years ago. Those of you that are carrying punk hair, go and look the pictures of those days. Those of you that are trying to put some high heel, you think it's a fashion and you're falling with a high heel, go and check out your grandparents. Everything in this life is revolving. Somebody has tested what you're testing. You better listen to the voice of the one who tested it so that you can escape the pains. One day, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, go with me there, and let's read it together. Ecclesiastes, everything that you own, everything that you possess in this life is going to pass away. You're going to leave them one day. The painful aspect, look at what the scripture says in verse 17. Of Ecclesiastes. So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Verse 18. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth. Why? For I must leave to others everything I have earned, everything I have labored, somebody else will come and enjoy it. Verse 19, who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? I hate life. I wish I have a control. I don't know whether those children that I'm about to live the labors of my life, whether they'll be wise or they'll be foolish. Yet, look at it. Yet, they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless life is. Everything. So Jesus Christ, point number two, Jesus Christ is not prohibiting us. It's not telling you, don't make savings, don't accumulate, don't gather. He has blessed us. He's told us, occupy till I come. Possess, occupy, take control of the world. The seventh commandment implies the right to accumulate property. The word of God, the seventh commandment that God gave out of the ten, one of it has to do with the accumulation of property. It is God's will to give us the power. He is the one that gives us the power to get wealth. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, that's the will of God. That's the perfect plan of God. It is not a permissive will. That's his perfect plan. I am the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Number two, God wants to bless us with prosperity. I wish above all things, above everything, that you will prosper and be in health. Never the will of God to see you sick. Never the will of God to see you begging on the street. That's why David said, since I was born and now I am growing old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither the seed of the righteous begging bread. Beggars, those that beg bread, are outside the covenant. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, the blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be a carrier of the blessing. He wants the world to know that you're blessed, that you're carrying the favor of God upon your life. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow. The blessings of the Lord. Number three, it is the desire of God for us to succeed. The desire of God for us to be on the lead. The desire of God for you to be the head and not the tail. For everything that concerns to life and godliness, God wants you to own it. God wants you to have it. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, as his divine power has given us all things. Houses, land, farm, cars, all things that pertains to life. Good health. Sound home, sound relationship, good ministry, where the ungodly will be chasing after, standing out in the college, coming out with distinctions, that which pertains to life and to godliness, to righteousness. That's God's plan for us, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Point number three. So if Jesus Christ, it's not prohibiting us. It's not stopping us from having the savings of life. But Jesus is trying to take you and I into something. Trying to point us to something, the most important thing in life. Jesus in our text was only warning you and I against letting the earthly treasures, possess us, that it becomes the chief object in our lives. It becomes a central thing. Some of us have allowed the earthly treasures to become our idols. Some of us here pray to God. We were so zealous for God with all our bodies, all our soul, and all our spirit. You can abandon everything in this world to be in the presence of God. You promise God that if God blesses you with a child, you will serve him 100 times. The day you came out of that labor room and you began to breastfeed the child, from that moment you began to drop on your consecration, you began to drop on your prayer time, you began to drop on your Bible study, you began to drop on your commitment to God, you began to carry on the things of this world. Some of you promised God and said, God, no matter how much you bless me, I will never allow the fashion of the world to influence my consecration. But the moment Jehovah started blessing you, enlarging you, lifting you up, you change your convictions. Jesus was trying to say, hey, I'm warning you, be careful. Don't allow the earthly treasures to influence and take the most important place in your life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus Christ said, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of this life came into the life of this man, and chuck the word, and the person became barren. The person became unfruitful. The cares of this world. Many of us are absent. Men are absent from church. Men are absent from serving God. Why? Chasing after the cares of this life. No wonder the modern generation preachers have modified, simplified, endorsed lesbianism in church because of the cares of life. A man, I read the story and I confronted the pastor in Lagos. He's bringing a tithe of over 200 million every month to that church. 200 million. The pastor has upgraded him, upgraded his position to becoming one of the most leading leaders in the church. But who is that young man? A homosexual. The cares of this world, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of this world. I prophesy over your life. You're saying Kai over the homosexual, but you're living a life that is contradicting the word of God. I declare over your life, anything that will make your Christian life barren, may the Lord uproot it out of your life. You know the prayer I've always prayed? Baba, you better take everything in this world. You better take everything in this life. May I die so poor, poorer than a Lazarus, and make it to the end. Than to earn this life's possession and miss out my convictions. You vow to the Lord, God Almighty, I promise you, by the blessings you have given me, I'm going to sell up my land. And I'm going to bring the proceeds into your house. You sold it. God gave you the favor. You did the business. And now you are trying to calculate. How can I bring the whole of this sum? God, you will have to understand. What are you bargaining with God on? Something that the Bible says will create wings and fly? You think that you're holding money? You're holding earthly possession? You can't even give your car? You can't give your boat to be used for the master? It's my car. My car. Sure. Let God just blow on it. All your human connection, all your human experience, all your certificate will bow. Overnight, you will lose the treasures. Overnight, overnight. Go to the stock market and you'll hear more. Outside Jesus, outside Christ, there is no satisfaction for life. Outside Jesus, there is no joy. Outside the word of God, this living word of God, no joy, no peace. You try to make up everything you'll be making up, but you'll never be fulfilled. Jesus Christ said, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, 24, I mean. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 24. Riches are not forever. Nor does a crown endure to all generation. Whatever you gather, whatever you try to do with your education, with your certificate, you're earning all the degrees, earning all the degrees. And yet you can't advertise Jesus. You can't talk about Christ. You're so ashamed of Christ. A young girl met us at the airport. She came to advertise some estate for us to make investment in Lagos. And the question I asked this young girl, how much do you advertise Jesus? How much have you given yourself? Young ladies and young men are running from office to office, trying to meet up with a target that the bank has given them. But how many of you have met the target of the King of Glory? They that win souls, they are wise. And the ones that win no souls, they are fools. And it is the fool that say, there is no God. There is no God. Pursuing after the wind. I don't know how many of you have caught the wind for once. Try to catch your breath if you can catch one. Jesus was warning us. Warning every one of us. The riches outside God will not last forever. Nor does a crown endure to all generation. If you want to find that, go and study the life of Saul and David. You want to find that, go and study the life of Vashti and Esther. When you walk outside the covenant, the crown doesn't stay forever. Have you not read? Go and study the children of Saul, the great grandsons of Saul. Go and study about Eli, the great grandchildren of Eli. They became beggars of bread because they walk outside the covenant. Earthly treasure number two is perishable. John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Whatever you see in this life that men are trying to kill themselves and throw Jesus aside. What a tragedy of tragedies. That men will stand in business places and they will stand in the marketplace and lock up God and lock up Jesus in church and go outside and leave as if there is no God. Everything you're pursuing is perishable. You sit in the plane, the best of all plane. Just look around. You begin to see rust in some of the plane. No matter how brand new you buy your shoe, you're only using the shoe in your bedroom. Few months and few years, the under will go ugly. Everything is perishable. That's why you have all the body carers. A lady, I was reading on the papers yesterday, she's made so much millions and millions and millions. Actually, she had a value of almost $1 billion plus as profit she made in trying to make up men and women. Make up so that they can always be looking 20. But the more you work on it, after a few days, the body said, original, come back. Then you go back again and enhance the artificial. After a few years again, the original said, come out. Making investment in things that are perishable. I wish the amount of money, what we spend on ourselves as students, as wives, as husbands, as sons and as daughters, if we can give God 50% of that, the world would have been a different place. Everything you pursue in this life is perishable. I remember when we was young, as children, you know, we love looking anytime. Daddy doesn't bring down his box. He has this box he used in the First World War. He has the second one he used in the Second World War. He opens it once in a while. After about 2-3 years, you will see him bring down. The moment he's bringing that box, we will gather. Oh, it's the happiest day. Because we're going to see those khaki of the Queen's Royal Army. Those khakis, those golden buttons and all of that. He will arrange them so smoothly. You see those ancient newspaper they use in decorating that wooden box. Oh, when Big Daddy, when my father opens the box, we're always around it. And those short official short knicker and those long socks as an officer with a royal cap. Oh, I will take the cap and put it like this and said, I look like my father. And he will say, you look like it. And he will collect it and put it back. But ladies and gentlemen, as much as that was glorious, that was in the early 19th century, right down to the early 19th century. As time went on, today they have rotten in the box. Everything in this life is perishable. Have you not seen the most beautiful girl? The moment she dies and they put her into the fridge, the body started changing. What shall it profit you to gain this life and live your eternal soul? Every one of us, as I close, sitting down looking at me, you came into this world for a purpose. That assignment is to glorify the King of Glory. This world is not our home. We are only passing through. There is a word. There is a standard. There is a word that God has given us to live by. Not the world system. Not the, what the world is trying to say. Not what America is trying to say. Not what Barack Obama is trying to say. Barack Obama is not your Lord. The president of Nigeria is not your Lord. No man is your Lord. Jesus Christ is the author. He is the finisher of your faith. And ladies and gentlemen, a day and a time is coming when all the leaders in this world, when all preachers and everybody will stand on a queue to wait the judgment of the chief judge sitting on the white throne. At that moment, there is nothing like trying to give a reason. When you pass this life, it's over. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that is the judgment. What shall it be when you leave this world? Bow your heads in prayer. Every eyes closed. At this moment, make up your mind. Concentrating on the earthly treasures will only take away your glory. But Jesus Christ said, lay up your treasure in heaven. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Give your time. Invest your tithe. Invest your treasure. Give it to the work of God. Give your talent and energy in the service of God. Give your time. Let God take preeminence. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. But there is one that makes himself poor for God, and yet has all the riches. Has all the riches. Has all the riches. Today, God is calling on you. Give him all. 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 Don't hold back. He is the owner. Don't hold back your energy. He is the owner. There is a time that is coming. You will look for that energy. You won't get it again. Jesus said, I must walk. The walk of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man shall walk. Build up that family for God. Build up those children for God. Stop running here and there. Stop deceiving and corrupting. Stop cheating the government. Build up what will stand for you. On that day you shall be judged by the word of God. You shall be judged by the word of God. Yes, nobody's there, but your shadow is taking record of your thoughts. Taking record of your actions. God said, I sent you to this world to do my will, to build my kingdom, not to build the world, not to build the world's kingdom. What are you doing? Young lady, what are you doing? Fumbling around? Fumbling with boys and girls? You're saying you still got more time. Friend, you have no time. It is mercy that is keeping you. But just few seconds ago as I'm talking, a young girl of 12 years passed on. It's not that she was sick, suddenly passed on. A young child that is just 1 year old passed on. Somebody that is just about 35 years, in the prime of his life, he has all the degrees, he's in a very comfortable office, slumped in the office and died. God kept you alive that you would bring glory to him. But nobody knows when it shall be the last moment. Bow down on your knees. In the next 3 minutes, disciples, nobody's going to speak. You talk with your creator. Jesus Christ has given us clear point. Investing in gift age security. Invest in life eternal. Bow down and talk to your Father. Hey! Mars, I go an empty handed. Not one soul with which to meet him. Fighting over things that don't matter. Allowing the praise of the world to take you away from your Creator. If you will not worship me, I will raise stones to worship me. perilous times shall come, and men shall be lovers of themselves and lovers of this world more than the lovers of God. They will look for preachers that will teach them what they want to hear, not what God says. Tell the Lord to restore back your childhood. And the Lord filled Saul with his spirit. And God, the Bible says, and he was turned to another man. But when Saul chose to walk in his own way, God took away his spirit. And Saul was taken over by the devil. He lost it all forever. My childhood, give me back my childhood. Give me back my childhood once again. That innocence and purity of childhood. Come back to my testy, weary soul. My childhood, give me back my childhood. Give me back my childhood once again. Yeah. That innocence and purity of childhood. Come back to my thirsty, weary soul. Would you hand over everything to God? Would you hand over your life? Would you hand over your soul, your spirit, your talent, your time, your treasure? What a tragedy that you didn't invest in soul winning. You invest on yourself. One day the gall rotten in the grave. No wonder the apostolic church, they sold their house, they sold their land, and God blessed them. The more they did, the more God blessed them. They knew that this earthly treasure, if you don't build the eternal one in heaven, you have no place. And it is the works we do that will keep the treasure in heaven. You got 2 minutes more to dedicate your life to God. That innocence and purity of childhood. Come back, hey! To my testy, weary soul. Prayers, praises doesn't touch you anymore. You feel dead. When praises are going on, you don't feel anything because you're backsliding already. Some of us can't join praise time, prayer time, just waiting for the word time, because you're backsliding already. You're reading the Bible, but it's like you're reading an ordinary newspaper. You're backsliding already. Cry out for your soul. Cry out for your soul. On that day, there is no excuse. Jesus said, if you're not hot, if you're lukewarm, I will spill you out. There is no place for lukewarmness. Don't be deceived by any pastor, by any church, by any preacher. There is no place. There is no place. There is no place.
there is the reverence for God. The reverence and the fear of God is beginning to die off in your heart. The tears are gone. Your eyes have become dry. Your brokenness is no more. Cry for your soul. Hey!
That innocence and purity of childhood, come back to my testy weary soul.
Some of us have become like Ananias and Sapphira. It's because God didn't kill you physically, but already you're doing what Ananias and Sapphira did. Talk to God. Ushers, wherever you are standing, bow on your knees and talk to God for your life while you're watching. Bow on your knees. Usher, bow down. You will not be ushering people, and then you will not be ushered in. If you have family members that are not safe, you will cry on their behalf right now. Lord, have mercy on my brothers, on my parents. You have a brother that is backsliding in the faith. Pray for him and cry on his behalf. Lord, have mercy. Oh! Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy in this crooked generation. Have mercy, oh God. Change us that we will change our world. Paul have served his own time. Peter have served his own time. John has served his own time. Lord John Wesley have served his own time. Lord, this is our generation. This is our time.